Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 173.
Correct.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Sleepy intern.
And I have to apologize for the audio quality. I don't know what happened by mics. It just wouldn't work tonight, so.
Weird.
I don't know. Probably my kids were playing on it and I wasn't paying attention is my personal guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to play with the preferences. I'll have probably a fix tomorrow, but that's not going to help us now.
No.
Okay. Where have you been up to, Kev? It's been a while.
When was the last time? It's been a while since we recorded. I guess I did Fan Expo in between.
How did that go for you?
Very well, sir.
That's good to hear.
I think it went very well. Yeah, good show.
Weren't you doing something today?
You did the Hamilton Comic Con too today, didn't you?
I dropped in at the Hamilton Comic Con today, and I had to get some autographs from David Prowse.
Ah.
How is that going? Is he as miserable as ever?
I don't know. I didn't actually go to him. I sent someone over to him.
Oh, so you really didn't even want to bother.
The joke of my life is that I don't actually have to go interact. Say, hey, could you help me out? And someone does it for me.
Well, that's great. I wish I had that. Could you do my shopping for me, please?
My CDC witness was there, so I just asked him if he could be the witness on it.
Oh, he's getting signed Star Wars comics?
Yeah, he signed six. So for a client in the States, he signed six copies of Star Wars 1.
How much are those?
Well, I don't know. I guess that book goes between $100 and $200, but they're all signed by Mark Hamill now. And now,
oh, wow. That's nice.
Next week, Carrie Fisher.
Wow, he's done well then.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, pretty exciting. I mean, just working on shows and not seeing as many movies as I would like, unfortunately.
Well, you're a little busy.
Yeah.
I picked up an Android box today.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to try to figure out how to use it. My buddy, I went over a couple hours, and things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how things are going there, and I'll give you guys back, and about next time we talk, I'll probably have a little bit more idea what I'm doing.
Okay.
But I did find a copy of Going All the Way that I've never found on DVD.
Going All the Way. Who's in that one?
Ben Affleck, Rachel Weisz.
Well, that's not
Rose McGowan.
So are we running through what we bought?
No. I found this on the box.
Oh, you found it on the box?
Yes, on the Android box.
Oh, okay.
Now, I have to apologize to our listeners. Since we got a new website, we can only do an hour until I can figure out how to put longer podcasts on the site.
Why don't we start with what we bought? Like, we'll get that out of the way.
Okay, go ahead. I bought an Android box, and that's about it.
No discount DVDs at any garage sales or anything like that?
No, I got about 200 to watch. Bob's making fun of me lately, oh, how far I'm behind.
I'm not.
Wow. That is pretty wild.
Well, Bob came down because I started fixing the basement after I got it renovated. And Bob's like, wow, you have a lot of movies to watch. Like, thanks, Bob.
Do you have a stack, like a ready-to-go stack?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm watching about 5 to 10 a week.
Wow.
Bob, what have you bought?
I've kind of held off on buying. I'm now kind of into the just getting the digital ones.
And I think that's the way to go. But Bob thinks I'm crazy.
But I did buy some.
What'd you buy?
Did you buy anything, Bob?
Yes, I did. I can't remember the movie I bought, but I bought season 8 of The Big Bang Theory. Not having purchased the previous 7 seasons, but I bought season 8.
Oh, okay. Are you a fan of the show? Will you watch it every week? Or?
I try to watch it every week, but I don't always get to it. I watch it occasionally. But I know like what's going on. I used to watch on YouTube. I used to watch the blooper reels for me the 7 seasons. I found that funnier than the actual show.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else?
There was a movie I bought. I can't remember what it was though.
Was that good?
Yeah, and I also saw 2 movies during the film fest.
Oh, right. You guys were at the film festival getting autographs.
That's right. Well, Simon gets autographs. I get autographs and we go see movies after the stars all leave.
So who's the stars that you met? Like any stars, notable stars?
Michael Fassbender.
Well, he met Michael Fassbender.
Jenna Elfman.
Oh, she was good, yeah.
Charlotte Copley.
Uh-huh.
Who else did we meet?
Anne Hathaway. Woody Harrelson actually stopped and signed this year.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Jeremy Renner.
Didn't see him.
Oh, nice. Wow, you guys were busy.
I only went out of 4 days, and I did well in the 4 days. I got Ruth Wilson from The Affair. You might know her. She's on Luther.
Okay.
She's on Luther, so.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, so. I don't know. I've never seen Luther. It's on my list of maybe get to one day.
Well,
me, I'll love it.
Did you ever see the movie? You would have seen the movie Uncle Buck, right, Kevin?
Of course.
Okay, the little girl who played Maisie?
Yeah.
She's on the show Transparent. I got her. Well, she's all grown up.
Oh, what's her name? Gabby Hoffman.
Gabby Hoffman.
Oh, we met Gabby Hoffman. We met Catherine Hahn, too.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn, Jeffrey Tambor.
Mark Duplass, I got. I missed his brother, Jay, because he went to the other side, and I never saw him.
Uh-huh.
Because I was blocked by Catherine Hahn, who I didn't meet. But I got a photo with her.
Uh-huh.
And I got Hammer Girl from Raid Redemption, which you've never seen, Kev, which is just a mistake.
Okay. The mistake that I haven't seen it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Did you get the guy from that?
Yeah, I got everybody.
Oh.
Continue, Kev. What did you buy?
Well, I picked up Sunset Boulevard for $5.
Great film. I saw that on my 16th birthday.
Never seen it.
I picked up a movie called Crimes of Passion. It's a Ken Russell film with Kathleen Turner and Anthony Perkins.
Are you trying to kill me with more Ken Russell films?
Yes. Oh, and this is right up there.
Oh, God.
That's his mission in life, to kill you by watching a movie.
Oh, those Ken Russell films. I don't understand them.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension Special Edition.
What's on the special edition that's different than the regular?
Nothing, really. It just has more, like, a long new interview.
I'm waiting for that TV show.
Yeah, well, apparently it's coming.
I know. It's on Amazon, I think.
I got a movie called The Girl Hunters.
I've never heard of it.
It's a Mike Hammer movie. You know Mike Hammer, written by Mickey Spillane.
Oh, cool. That would be good. I like those.
I remember.
Well, this stars Mickey Spillane as Mike Hammer.
Really? I'll have to see that.
So the writer played his character.
Bob remembered what he bought.
It was a Haley Steinfeld movie, but I can't remember the name.
Oh.
Okay.
True Grit?
I also
That little, it's a comedy, and you said, oh yeah, I remember that.
I don't know, it's Bob. I can't help him.
Okay.
Continue, Kevin.
I picked up the Iron Giant.
Great pickup.
Anniversary edition. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, I'm listening.
Okay, and I picked up Chimes at Midnight.
Ooh, Orson Welles. Nice.
And yes, nice. Criterion just came out.
I'll have to pick that up myself.
Digitally, I picked up Civil War.
Civil War. Oh, the movie, yes, right. Duh.
And Legend of Tarzan.
I completely understand why you picked up Legend of Tarzan.
And then one other film, which I haven't watched yet, which is a film called Artists and Models.
Never heard of it.
It is Jerry Lewis.
Okay.
And Dean Martin.
Okay, I'll check it out.
And it was on $5 on iTunes.
Oh, and okay.
And what it is it's just trying to get the right description. It's essentially a 1950s comic book movie.
Oh.
Which is, so, Martin and Lewis are comic book creators. So Martin is the writer and Lewis is the artist. And they work for a company and they create a character called the Bat Lady. So she's kind of like Batman, but like a lady, of course.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out for sure.
So worth it to just get a 1950s interpretation of what the comic book industry was like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That sounds very fascinating. And I have a bunch of other films to watch you sent me recently.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I've been watching Netflix and other things.
Oh, I can tell. It just means I got to watch some of those when my kids are at home because I don't know what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
which will probably start this week.
Ran through all 13 hours of Luke Cage.
We'll get to it. 2 weeks, I told you. 2 weeks we can discuss it. I've only watched the first episode.
Cool. All right. Well, what's on our list for today, guys?
Scully, directed by...
Sully, not Scully.
Oh, I keep saying Scully. Sully, directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I haven't seen this one.
Okay, well, you remember the story, don't you?
It's about the pilot who saved the plane.
That's exactly it. Tom Hanks, Aaron Eckhart, Michael Malley. He's in a lot of films, actually, Michael Malley. Laura Linney, Valerie Mahaffey, and Jamie Sheridan, Katie Couric, Blake Jones, Ann Cusack, Molly Hoggin, Max Adler, and Sam Huntington. Sam Huntington was in this?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I find Sully, with most Clint Eastwood, was very plotting. Like, you knew the ending ahead of time. It's a Clint Eastwood movie, so it doesn't really go anywhere to me. Like, a very slow moving, nothing's in any hurry to get anywhere.
Right.
And, I mean, parts of it I really enjoyed. I like the Tom Hanks talking to Aaron Eckhart all the time. I really did enjoy Tom Hanks' calls home to talk to his wife because I just found them boring.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have had a whole movie of Tom Hanks and Aaron Eckhart just discussing what they did. I mean, after the third time they show Tom Hanks running, I'm like, enough. I got it. He likes to run. It helps him think.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I remember the day this happened. I remember watching it on CNN and then reading it. I didn't realize there was a whole inquest afterwards. And I thought that was interesting. What did you think, Bob?
I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the inquest, as you said. Like, they were set, like, he was, they were doing as, what they were doing. They were doing, computer generated, with the simulations, and Tom Hanks' character says, well, okay, you did a simulation, but you knew the exact ending of the simulation, and how long it would, and what they did. Did you ever try it, this other way, which they had to do, and they said no, and so he says, "Well, can you plot that in, and then have them do it that way?" And each and every time, because they said they had 17 tries at it, and this was the first. There was only the one time that Captain Sully did it. So he says, "Well, given this information, try it this way," and both times they crashed, whereas Sully. Like, they crashed into the city or something, whereas Sully was able to land the plane in the water. Well, so they finally realized that he was a hero instead of, like...
Hold on. No, they did the simulations thinking that the engine was fine, Kevin.
Well, yeah, that too.
Like, that's the important point to think. Sully talks the whole movie, Hayden, saying he knew the left engine wasn't working. He could feel it. And when they go into the inquest, they told him the left engine was fine. You could have made it to LaGuardia, or you could have made it to this place in New Jersey. So the whole movie is about Sully questioning himself if he could make it. And then they get a phone call during the inquest saying the engine doesn't work. And then they declared him a hero. That's what Bob's trying to get
at.
Because every time they tried the simulation, the people made it back, no problem.
But they didn't have the correct information in that case.
And then that's not with the correct information. And once they had the no engine, they all crashed into the city on the simulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really about it. Would this be a film you would watch, Kevin?
I don't know. I mean, I saw the trailers, and I'm like, I like Tom Hanks, but I just don't know if I care about this enough.
Yeah, I don't think there was enough into it. I'm with you. I think probably would watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what's next on our list, guys?
The Witch, directed by Robert Eggers, starring Anna Taylor-Joy, Katie Dickey, Ellie Granger, Julian Richings, Ralph Emerson, and Sarah Stevens, and Vic Moore. Viv Moore. I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
Uh-huh. Anna Taylor-Joy is the only one we can talk really care about in this movie.
Julian Richings.
Who's Julie Rushing's mom?
No, he's a guy. He was in Percy Jackson.
Who's he play, a brother?
No. He plays the guy.
The handyman.
The guy with the boat to Hades.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Gab, what did you think of The Witch?
I thought it was very atmospheric.
Yes, I felt the same.
It was very creepy, but it's not like a film where a lot happens. I mean, this family has left the confines of the English settlement, and they're trying to set out on their own. For whatever reasons, they've had disagreement with the local, and it's set in like the 1800s, or the 1700s, I should say. And I don't know. Anyway, they're on the edge of a wood, and they don't quite. There's a fear of the unknown with the wood, and they don't go in there. And one day, their youngest child, the baby, is kidnapped.
Yes,
that movie sounds familiar.
And they talk. What's that?
That movie sounds familiar. They've already done something like that.
It's called The Witch, and we're talking about it right now.
No. There was a movie like thanks a lot. There was a movie that was done before. It was like they were like it was a small town, and there was a woods there, The Village. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. I remember that's the exact same story, almost to the T.
So well, the two daughters are off kind of bugging each other, and they. One accuses the other of being a witch.
Correct.
And then the other kind of says, I am a witch. I signed the book and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just to kind of tease her younger sister.
Correct.
Anyway, one day their brother goes into the woods to try to catch some game, and he disappears. And there's a scene of him encountering an attractive young lady in the woods who does something to him. It turns out she's a witch.
Yeah.
We think. Because he shows up later and he's bewitched. He's not well and he's naked. And the other siblings blame the oldest daughter for making this all happen. And then from there, it's like, okay, I can sort of see this happening. It's not that supernatural. It's not that weird. The kids are playing a game on the older sister, you know, things like that. But, and then it, like, literally, it becomes a story about witches and the devil.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the goat goring the father, that was quite an interesting change of events. The Black Thomas, or whatever it is, Black Philip, the goat, and then being trapped in there. And there are witches there. And anyway, I don't know, it was very well done. Well crafted and very atmospheric, but in the end, I would say that there's not a lot of meat to it.
Well, that was my problem. I mean, you have a language barrier I found with the film. Just
and
getting
what's
used
that?
To that old English. I found it very hard for a little while to get used to what they were saying in the first few minutes.
Okay, I didn't have that problem.
Okay, yeah. I did. I just found it very slow until the end. I'm like, give me something to care about. I don't like any of these characters. I don't find any of them interesting. I mean, I find it just very mundane until the end. I love the end. But I just felt it took too long to give me purpose to this movie, to care about it.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there was nobody I found interesting. The dad was too harsh. The mom just went with him. That was the sign of the times. And the kids just did their own thing.
Yeah, the mother going crazy with the raven pecking at her breast and stuff like that, that was weird.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, we got to do something here. Let's start this.
Well, I think what it was trying to say is what witches are real and the devil was there.
Okay. So
and that's the exact opposite of most horror films like this is that really it's your own psychological... Like, my general feeling is that perhaps... The oldest daughter had a psychological break, being trapped in the thing with the goat overnight. She went crazy, and her sense of reality changed.
I agree.
And so maybe we're seeing what she imagines has happened as opposed to a reality. You know, maybe the goat does gore him, but the fact that the goat turns into the devil and she goes off to fly into the sky, it just seemed kind of silly.
I thought she was a witch at the end. That's the way I took it. She joined the covenant at the end. Did I take that wrong?
Yeah, but what happens is the devil, who's the goat,
yes.
says, I want you to join me and be, you know, you're going to sell your soul to me, write it in the book, and then you can go off and be a witch. So he takes her to the coven where the naked women are dancing around in the woods.
Yes.
She flies up into the sky and laughs because she's released. She's now a witch. She has the freedom of whatever.
I know. I need to.
Tales.
I don't know. It's just really confusing at the end, I thought.
But I kept thinking to myself, like, why would this girl who's very devout and God-fearing and everything like that, all of a sudden, why would she go and become a witch? Like,
I don't know. There's no reason for that.
It just seems kind of like it's too quick to the transfer. Like, there's no basis for why she would have that transformation other than she went insane and
okay.
She killed her.
I'll give it to you. Like, I can't give you an answer because I don't think I understood it.
Yeah.
At the end.
And then, I don't know. I don't know if I think if you wanted to a creepy atmospheric tale about settlers in the early days of North America, then check it out.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you're looking for something deep, then I wouldn't bother.
I agree with you. Oh, you want something deep, Kevin? I saw The Do-Over.
Oh, The Do-Over.
Directed by Stephen Brill, starring your big buddy Adam Sandler, David Spade, Paul Patton, Sean Astin, Catherine Hahn, Natasha Leggero, Michael Chiklis, Louise Guzman, and Catherine Bell.
Oh, yeah, Sean Astin was in it. I forgot.
Yeah, plays his buddy. No, David Spade's ex-wife's husband, right? David Spade's wife's ex-husband. I think that's Sean Astin.
So this is a Netflix original.
Oh, it's brutal is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you a story. I was sitting at home. My wife was sitting at home. We get a phone call. The neighbor has to go out and go visit somebody in the hospital. So they ask, we watch your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 10 o'clock tonight. Kids asleep. So yeah, I'll go over. So I sat there and watched The Do-Over while she was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Kevin. This was painful.
You know what? I wasn't expecting it to be great.
Oh, is it ever funny?
No, it was an interesting premise of your life is shit,
yeah.
And he has the ability to make it go away, and you could be someone else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's Adam Sandler, it's just crap. It's just basically Netflix development money spent poorly.
Yeah, it was dumb. I'm like, is this supposed to be funny at some point?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole point that David Spade's life sucks, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just awful. The jokes were bad. I mean, when Louise Guzman and they're doing the threesome, and I'm just like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
And what's up
with the drug dealers and all that stuff? I didn't hate it. I thought it was had a moment of okayness.
Well, it was better than Ridiculous Six, I'll tell you that much.
Mm.
Like I just felt the film. It's just another Adam Sandler movie. I'm like, why are these made anymore? Like, why did Netflix give him all this money? Somebody must watch them.
Clearly, he has an audience.
Yeah, but is it you? Are you the reason why I haven't watched this junk?
Might be.
Okay. I mean, is Paula Patton's career just down the toilet and she has nothing else to do?
I guess that's basically it. There's nothing else on, nothing. She might as well watch this thing. And
like, there was no jokes in here. Like, not even one funny scene.
There were some funny things, so.
The Catherine Hahn fight at the end was okay.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was okay. I thought, I don't know. And what's going on with his grandma and her big boobs? I'm just like, oh.
No,
nope.
Yeah.
I tried, Kevin. I tried to get through the deal.
That's fine. It's not for everybody, and I think if you just wanted to waste an hour and a half, then it's okay. But I wouldn't say it's going to win any awards or get you into any deep thoughts.
No, well, here's another movie I had no deep thoughts about. Everybody Wants Some, directed by Richard Linklater, starring Blake Jenner, Ryan Guzman.
Oh, reviewing this movie? I saw this months ago.
Did we not review this?
I don't know. I thought we did, but it kept going off the list because I think Bob wanted to see it.
Yeah, Bob finally saw it. Wyatt Russell. We can go through it quickly anyway.
It took me 3 tries to see it because I fell asleep halfway.
Bob kept falling asleep.
And I was told, I was told by a friend of ours, this movie's so great. You got to see it. You got to see it.
So this is Linklater's attempt to do something for the 80s that he did for the 70s, the late 70s.
Correct.
So this is him essentially dealing with music and young people in a university setting in the early 80s.
And baseball.
Baseball camp. They're baseball players, basically, sharing a house, right?
Right.
So he picked people that look like they might be from that era and played a lot of 80s music and showed us what life was like in the 80s, I guess.
I got that impression, but I mean, again, I didn't find this film funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't relate to this movie that was around in the 80s. Really? I just think it was kind of lame.
I thought this was weak.
Yeah, I agree. Did you stay for the end credits where they did the sort of a rap type song?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. Like, I thought that was...
At that point, I just wanted it to end, because let me leave.
Mm-hmm.
I thought every character looked the same. I thought they went out of their way, like, oh, these are the drug jocks. These are the real jocks. This is the jock that wants to be something different.
Blake Jenner wanted to be different, because you got Wyatt Russell. He was the pot smoker, and then the other guy who was like, oh, this thought, I've got to keep on going with this thought and bore everybody to death.
But none of them were interesting. I thought they were all just basic cookie cutters of jocks.
Yeah.
I have sort of the same problem with Dazed and Confused. I watched it, I've seen it 2 or 3 times. And
thank you.
I don't love the movie. I know a lot of people do, but...
I don't. I think it's dull. Exactly the same problems I have with this.
Thank you. I have some agreement with you two on that one.
Wow, we all like the same movie? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, could you tell any of these characters apart?
There was 2 characters I couldn't tell apart right from the beginning. Glenn Powell's character and another guy with the exact same mustache. And I'm going, which one is which?
I thought the scene in the car, I can't remember what song they were singing, was quite funny.
Yeah.
They're driving around in the car, but I'm just like...
That song.
But I was just like, I don't care. Like, him trying to pick up the girl was just so dumb.
That was from another movie, that song.
Yeah, that's all they try to do is go to bars and pick up women? Okay, I got that. I don't know, it just did nothing for me.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, that song was from the Revenge of the Nerds. Remember that song where the young kid is saying, the end of the year parade type thing?
I haven't seen Revenge of the Nerds in 25 years. Kevin.
But it's that song.
How come we've never done Revenge of the Nerds 1-4?
I don't know. I thought we had, but...
We've never done Revenge of the Nerds.
You're the master of the list.
Yeah, I know. I have the copy. We've never done Revenge of the Nerds.
That sounds like
3 and 4 are TV movies. I'll have to check for you, but I'll give them to you anyway.
Watch that scene I'm telling you about.
I know 1 and 2 got theatrical. I think 3 and 4 are TV.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, moving on. Like, is there anything on this list exciting?
What's next on the list?
I'm not.
Magnificent 7.
Oh, the Magnificent 7.
Directed by Antoine Fuqua, starring Denzel, Pratt, Haley Bennett, D'Onofrio, because I'm really fat, Hawk, Luke Grimes, Peter overacting Starsgard, Matt Bomer, who dies early, Bo Young, Hung Lee, and somebody I don't know named Cam Gideon. I don't know which guy he was.
He was in Easy A.
Who is he in the movie?
I don't know. I never saw the movie.
Gavin, did Magnificent 7 stand out for you?
I didn't hate it. I liked it. It's a sort of a remake of the original Magnificent 7 and the Seven Samurai, although it's slightly different characters in a American setting, while the original Magnificent 7 was set in Mexico. Essentially, instead of a robber baron type of character. It's now a like a mine owner who wants to acquire towns to strip them and acquire their wealth and all that stuff.
Well, it looks like Peter Stargard was having a good time.
Yeah, he got to be like a generic super bad guy. Scenery.
Like, he's the only guy I wanted to hang out with.
Well, I liked the Magnificent Seven. I thought they each had nice character moments. I thought these are all solid actors. I liked Chris Pratt.
I liked Denzel Washington. I just thought D'Onofrio and Ethan Hawke looked out of place.
But they were overacting. They were they were trying to be characters. D'Onofrio was, I thought his voice was annoying, but after a while he became endearing.
Oh, never got endearing to him, ever.
Okay, well, I thought he did.
I mean, when I saw
he would sacrifice.
In that opening scene, when Bomer argues with Peter Sarsgaard, I'm like, they're going to shoot him. And I mean, I have the same problems with the film I do with the original. Them recruiting puts me to sleep. Just, I have no interest in the film. I mean, Seven Samurai made me care about the samurai. And like, it went into Japanese life. It kept it interesting. I never found the film boring at 3.5 hours. I thought it was a masterpiece.
Right.
I mean, to me...
Well, General Magnificent Seven, and I like this one enough to say I didn't feel like I wasted my money.
I don't think I wasted my money. I just didn't love it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I wanted more. I wanted some... I mean, it looked like a cookie-cutter town... Just looked like people were here for paychecks again.
Yeah, I think it was like, what can we do? Let's do this.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And it wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad.
I think
they just ride on horses and fire guns and have fun.
Yeah, that's right. You're correct.
And sometimes that's what an audience really needs.
Is that what you need, Kevin?
I found it entertaining enough to say, yeah, I was entertained.
Okay.
As I said, it's not an Oscar movie.
Oh, definitely not.
So I thought it was just okay. It was a strange movie to have at the film festival.
Yeah, I thought so.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because they often have films that don't matter at the film festival.
Well, I think they just did it because they can get all the people showed up.
Right.
It was good press.
I think, from what I understand, the Toronto Film Festival accepts any movie that wants to be there. They don't really screen. So if someone wants it there and they want to get some actors out, then it's all good.
Good. Did you drop enough cups yet?
What's that?
It sounds like you're dropping cups.
I dropped some trash.
Okay.
I what?
Nothing. That's it for me. Bob, anything to say about 7? Nope. Are we opening the vault?
Sure.
Do it.
Good evening.
Nothing new?
Pardon?
Oh. Nothing else new?
Nope, that's all I got in the list.
Are you divided the vault properly?
I got the... I don't know. I sent it to you guys. You guys do all that. I just type stuff up. All
right, tell me what's up.
I have the recruit.
What have we got?
The Recruit.
What is The Recruit?
Directed by Roger Donaldson, starring Al Pacino, Bridget Monaghan, Colin Farrell, Gabriel Mock, Jenny Cooper, Kenneth Mitchell, and Angelo...
Saruchas.
I never
heard of him.
He's a big guy in all those mob movies.
Kevin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I thought lost it. Have you seen The Recruit? You don't really remember it.
When did this movie come out?
In the 90s. Mark wanted to do it. Since Mark didn't show up, I'm going to do it anyway. This was his movie.
I don't recall it, so I don't know.
It's that Al Pacino movie, and Colin Farrell wants to work for the CIA.
No, didn't see it.
Okay, well, Bob watched it. He'll discuss it with me. So Colin Farrell goes to CIA camp. Al Pacino's the recruiter and recruits him. He's supposedly flunked out. But that's really a cover, and he gets, you know, and Al Pacino gets him back in, and then he's supposed to be doing a side job for Al Pacino.
Hey, can we pause for a moment?
Yep. Okay, Kevin's back. Fabulous. So that's The Recruit. Bob, what did you think of this?
I actually like this movie. I know you're going to say it's like it's a basic movie, and you expect what to expect, but I actually did not fall asleep. It had me watching it, not losing interest all throughout. And you're probably going to say the end was expected, but I like being me, I wasn't expecting this end. Like it sort of took a twist, so that Al Pacino's character was actually the bad guy.
Well, there had to be a bad guy.
Well, yes, but it was supposed to be Bridget Moynihan, but it wasn't. It was Al Pacino.
But I think the Bridget Moynihan character, you pretty much knew she wasn't the bad guy.
I didn't know that. I wasn't expecting it myself. Maybe you were.
I don't know why.
But being a movie watcher, you expect these things because you've watched so many movies. Me, on the other hand, I still have the, like, wanting to see the next scene.
Well, I guess my problem is not Bridget Moynihan was the villain. It would be horrible.
Yes.
But making Al Pacino the villain, but it didn't do anything for me. I thought it was very Hollywood 1990s video, what they put out back then.
But I thought the idea of him being a recruiter, and he says, you gotta admit, I have a good eye for talent, which he did because he picked out Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell became the whatever that thing was, the special ops person, and just after he says that, they kill him because he says, I've worked for you guys for 25 years or more, and this is what you do. So he basically screwed himself over. But he said, like, Colin Farrell, the Colin Farrell character did become the special ops. So they're like, by the end, he was like,
Calvin, it's your basic 90s thriller.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You'll put it on, you'll watch it, you'll be like, it was okay.
No, you won't say it's just okay.
You don't remember this film at all. Calvin?
What's that? No.
Oh, wow, I cannot believe it's just your Hollywood thriller. It's got the typical Hollywood ending. It's got a slight twist. You're either gonna like it or hate it.
I liked it.
I don't think it's bad in any way. It just doesn't have any depth again to me. It's like watching Magnificent Seven. It'll entertain you. It's just not going to do anything special for you. I'm not going to give you a warm feeling in your tummy.
Warm and fuzzy.
Aww.
And that's it.
That's what I want to see a movie for. I want to get that warm feeling in my tummy.
Did you get the word of fuzzy from Legend?
Legend? That's a new movie. Why is that in the video vault?
I don't know. You got Bob put in the video vault.
This is what I was concerned about. I'll tell you, Legend is, what's his name? Bane.
What movie is this? This is the wrong movie you put on here.
You didn't tell me which movie it was. There was two movies.
Actually, you said, which Legend is it? And I said, it's the one from this year starring...
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Yes, that's the one I wanted to talk about.
Oops.
Which one did you put on? The Tom Cruise one?
1985 with Tom Cruise.
Oh, God. We've reviewed that, haven't we?
I don't think so.
I've never seen it, so I'll say no.
So,
and who put this movie on here? The Minus Man. I never even saw this.
You people gave me that to begin with. You put it on the same thing as What Women Want, and then you took it off, apparently.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Go on, Kevin. We'll do those next time.
He plays, so it's about the craze.
Stop eating.
All right, I'm eating chips.
I can hear you.
Have you tried the Swiss Chalet chips?
No.
Can I only get them at Swiss Chalet?
Yes.
Okay.
And they appear to be sold out. I found the Swiss Chalet that carried them. So Warren's been wanting them, so I bought them.
That was nice of you. Okay, continue, Kevin.
All right, so the movie's about the Cray twins, who were the gangsters who basically terrorized London during the swinging 60s.
Correct.
So one was... they were pretty brutal.
Yes.
And they had American money backing them, American gangsters backing them.
Correct.
So one was a little bit more reasonable than the other, and the other was psychotic. And it sort of follows one brother's attempt to be kind of normal.
Yes, the businessman.
Yeah, while the other one goes crazy, and then the two of them are at odds.
Correct. You got it all.
So, I thought it was an interesting performance to have Tom Hardy play both brothers. And having an actor play twins isn't necessarily a unique thing.
No, definitely not. And Tom Hardy's done that before, hasn't he?
Yes.
I don't know. Twins? I don't know if he has or not.
No, I'm thinking of the other guy. Chatham, who played twins in Facebook movie, Social Network?
That was the Lone Ranger.
Oh, that's an Arnie Hammer. Oh, I met him at the film festival, too. Yeah. He's really nice.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, his wife's very pregnant.
And very mean.
So I didn't hate this movie. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was okay. I think that there's probably a better version of the film out there with the movie The Craze.
Which I did not see. You mean the biography?
No, there's a movie called The Craze, which is basically the same thing.
I didn't see that. I saw this one.
Yeah, it's about an actor playing twins and about the same situation, but it's a little bit more bloodthirsty and brutal.
Oh, good. This put me to sleep, this one. I was not impressed at all.
Yeah, it was well done, and it was okay. I wouldn't say it's the greatest movie ever, and that's why it kind of just slipped under some radars. Under the radar.
I absolutely hated it. It put me to sleep. I didn't find them interesting. I didn't care. It just reminded me so much of Black Mask. I'm like, I've already done this year. I don't want to watch this.
Okay.
And I just did not have any interest in the film. I thought Tom Hardy was fine because I'm like a big Tom Hardy fan. I just didn't find either of the characters interesting. One was gay. Okay, I got it. He's upset. I got it. I don't care.
Okay.
It just didn't do anything for me. Did you see Minus Man? And who put this on the list? Mark?
Mark must have done that. I don't know that movie at all.
Okay. And we didn't. We can do What Women Want, but I thought we did that in our Mel Gibson.
I
don't know who made this list. I'm going to have to pay more attention. We got about 18 minutes left. Do you want to discuss Stranger Things for a bit?
If you want. Stranger Things is a Netflix show.
Yes.
It was, 18 episodes?
I'm sorry, I'm in trouble. I skipped the Magnificent Seven original. Do you want to do that one?
Not really.
Okay. Joe's not here.
Except in Mexico. Joe would have enjoyed talking about it.
No, he's not here, so he's out.
Yul Brynner and...
People need to show up if they want to put their movies on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, discuss Stranger Things. 80s, Winona Ryder, and somebody, I think I recognize the cop.
So if you were to take John Carpenter and Sam Raimi and Steven Spielberg and throw them all together in a big blender, you would get something like Stranger Things.
I agree.
And Stranger Things is essentially a story about kids dealing with something that's threatening their town.
Yeah.
It's kind of like J.J. Abrams' Super 8 in some ways, but a little bit more inventive.
Yes, I agree.
So, and I think they had to be a little bit more inventive because of the episodic nature of the television show and itself, and they had to... So, you know, like, they basically had to stretch it out. So they had to come up with a premise where there was a mystery and a lost boy and people are disappearing and something is hunting them, but it's not quite... They can't tell what it is.
Okay.
And then there's also as in a lot of 80s movies, there's also the mysterious stranger. In this case, it's another child who has abilities... unknown abilities.
11.
Number 11, yes.
I thought this film was fascinating. I think it was too long at 80 episodes. I think 6 I would have been happier with.
I think it was good, and I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing the second one.
Yeah, I want to get into a little bit more. I mean, the kid goes missing. I thought that was kind of strange how fast that kid went missing at the beginning. So that sets up the whole show. Then we need them to look in the kid. I did enjoy the phone calls to the teacher all the time. When they phone up the teacher about the upside down universe, the other kids, and try to figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating. I thought the kids who 11 was hanging out with, I really liked that kid.
Yeah.
The kids were great
in this movie, in this show.
I like the kids. I think the other two kids had very limited development.
I like the kid with the lisp. He was funny.
Yes. I mean, I found them funny. We didn't know a lot about them, I guess. We didn't really meet their parents or anything.
Yeah.
But I liked everything. I loved the Max Modine character. I liked the whole secret base.
Yeah.
I like Winona Ryder going nuts and breaking holes through her walls and looking for a kid and putting up the lights.
Yeah, the stuff with the lights was fascinating, and the fact it was like a parallel universe in some ways. And it was cool. It was kind of like their Dungeons & Dragons game stewed down into, so it kind of foreshadowed what was going on with the monster. I liked it. As I said, it was just long.
No, I thought parts of it were fascinating. I like when she goes to see her boss at the thing and goes, I need some money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much do you need? I need this much. And she comes in and buys all the lights. And I need a phone. Pardon? I need the phone!
Mm.
I thought that scene was quite good.
On the cigarette, she said, and a throw in a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I guess and the Millennium Falcon, I liked them. And the guys like, make the Millennium Falcon lift.
Yeah.
Up, and nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I thought stuff like that was good. And what did you think of the Upside Down world? Did you want to see more of it?
I was curious about it. It was interesting. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It didn't make a lot of sense, but it was
Well, that's
cool.
My thing. Are they going to explain that to us? Do you think of the next
but
one?
That's an 80s thing. 80s stuff, you didn't have to have an explanation. It just sort of was. You have to accept that there was a parallel world, and in the parallel world, there's a monster. And if somehow you get sucked into the parallel world, the monster will eat you and feed on you.
Oh.
And it feeds on blood. That's its entry point into our world.
Okay, I have one slight problem. Remember the girl, the main girl in it, not Eleven, the other girl, the boy?
The sister, yeah.
Her friend that gets taken out early?
Yes.
That's never revisited. Barb never gets, just sort of dies.
They find her body. There's later on, there's an episode, and they find something.
Did I miss that then?
Yeah, they did. You missed that. There was confirmation that she was dead.
Okay, then I must have missed that. I apologize.
In one of the episodes when they're actually in the other world, they find something of her.
Yes, I remember them finding something of her, but I don't remember them finding a body, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, she's dead.
I read the confirmation on that. Now, what do you think of Winona Ryder? Do you think she did a good job?
I thought she was great. I thought she did a fantastic job.
She looks very haggardy, but I think that was the whole plan of the movie, to make her look...
She looks like Winona Ryder, but a little older. In fact, she looks better than she did in that Star Trek movie.
As
Spock.
What Star Trek movie, Bob?
Star Trek guy.
The reboot.
The first one?
The first one.
Yeah, she was Spock's mother. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's Star Trek. You think I remember any of that?
Yes.
I'm not counting on you to remember that.
No, neither am I.
Okay, well, I don't remember Star Trek. I mean, that's like, whatever.
Bob, Stranger Things?
No, Bob is busy.
Where's Stranger Things? On Netflix?
Yes.
And I don't get Netflix. I don't really get...
Bob has shown me that it's getting canceled at the end of the year.
At November 30th, it's going bye-bye.
Take that and show me and turn it into Netflix and you'll enjoy it. Ooh, you'll see a lot of movies that you didn't miss the first time.
How much is the difference in cost?
I don't know how much Show Me is.
About $8.
Show Me's like... Yeah,
$10.
If you had a subscription through Rogers, in some cases they're going to switch you over to Netflix. But.
They might, because they're already doing ads for it. So I'm on the VIP program, so they might just switch me over.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they do that with me, they can't, because I'm already on Netflix. So I want them to remove that. So.
Well, what's funny is my sister-in-law just signed up for Show Me last month.
Yeah, now you
to get a month out of it.
And she has Netflix. I'm like, what are you doing?
I signed up for it, and I don't like Show Me at all. It's awful. The interface is terrible. It doesn't work. There's a reason why it's being canned.
Well, I heard the interface was brutally bad.
Well, you're doing it through your computer, right?
No, it won't work on my Rogers box.
It will on mine.
So, I have to do it on my iPad.
Oh, it works on my Xbox. I'm doing it.
Or through my Xbox.
And it works. It works great. I'm watching stuff I want.
What are you watching?
Well, I have.
Fortunately, I'm watching stuff that I shouldn't be watching. I'm watching Star Trek: The Original Series. I'm watching Glee, which I have on DVD. I'm watching Star Trek: The Next Generation. I'm watching all six Star Trek movies. I keep finding stuff I should be watching, but then I haven't watched it, like Transparent, all three seasons. Warren says I've got a month to get it all done.
And you won't.
And I won't. I did watch Gotham last night.
What do you think of Gotham this season, Kev?
I don't know. I've watched the two episodes. It's Gotham.
I like them now. I'm starting to like the show more and more.
Okay. I'm on the fence because Gotham has yanked my chain a few times in the past.
Is that one character that Gordon was fighting? Is that Man-Bat?
I don't know. Kevin may know. Kevin, first episode, the guy that comes out of the pharmacy.
No.
Who is it?
I don't know. It's just some freak. So, in the comics, you know, Hugo Strange created the Monster Men. Well, that's what these are. These are Hugo Strange's Monster Men. Except they're not exactly giant troglodyte guys like they were in the comics. They're genetic freaks.
Okay. You excited about Flash on Tuesday?
What's that?
Flash is 2 days away.
Flash is starting, yes.
And Arrow.
Supergirl next week.
So all my shows come back next week.
I guess it's Flash and Arrow this week, and then Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow is coming soon.
And Black Lightning next year, or mid-season replacement? I'm not sure when it comes.
And they're changing some of the characters on Legends of Tomorrow.
I've never seen an episode. Everybody told me it was horrible, so I didn't watch it.
Oh, I liked it. Hot Girl is gone.
It's okay.
So Hot Girl couldn't act. In the one episode I saw her on Arrow. Is it Arrow we saw her on? She was brutal.
Well, she's leaving and so is Captain Cold.
Where's Captain Cold going? He's the one I like.
I have no idea, but he's leaving the show.
So the deal that he made is that he will appear on the other shows, but no longer on Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
Why?
He dies in Legends of Tomorrow.
Wonder why.
But because it's a time travel show, he can just show up in the Flash. The thing is, they would like to have Captain Cold as an active presence on these shows. As a villain, as opposed to a heroic figure on the ship in the future.
Oh, is that why? Okay, well, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, they need supervillains. It's like the same problem Marvel has with their movies. Where are the supervillains? Where are the legitimate threats? You know, we have Gorilla Grodd, but... Actually, there's a... I don't know if you saw the... Have you seen the Superhero Fight Club trailer for this season?
No, I won't watch them.
If you go online, there's actually a trailer, and they did this for last year, and it was Flash and Arrow team up, and they joined Superhero Fight Club. Well, with Black Canary and a few other characters. Well, Superhero Fight Club 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever it is Supergirl joins the team, and then it's like the Legends of Tomorrow characters, and they're all fighting robots and joking with each other and being super heroic together.
Cool.
It's fun. Anyway.
There's also another thing. I saw it on DVD in Walmart. It's like a high school with the Supergirl and all the female superheroes.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
So DC attempts to market young girls, and so they're doing a toy line and a cartoon, which is basically cute kitty versions of all of their superhero characters and supervillains.
I'll be happy though, Kevin. My daughter only wants one is Harley Quinn.
So Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn, Supergirl, Batgirl, Wonder Woman.
Well, the thing is, she has a Supergirl costume. She's like, I don't want to wear that.
Uh-huh.
I want to be Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fight going on in my house.
Daddy's little monster.
Yeah, so I guess it's time to wrap up again, Kevin.
All right, well, we've come and gone. We've seen some extra features. We've talked about some movies.
Yeah.
Well, we may not have seen them all.
I saw them all.
You have? He's not talking about you.
So I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks, Cove.
All right, enjoy. Maybe Mark will can give us an update on the summer music.
Yeah, because we're supposed to do it tonight. That was 10 minutes of our hour.
Good luck. Let's just save him some time and say that I've lost, because we all know that I did not. I didn't.
We
win.
Don't know that.
Really?
Nobody knows.
I think the founder is one of the things.
So you screwed up one choice.
Uh-huh.
You picked the founder, the McDonald's movie.
It hasn't even come out yet.
It was supposed to be out already.
No.
It wasn't the magazine to come out this summer.
And, and my number one thing was not the top three things. The number one was Florence Foster Jenkins, and I don't think it worked out that well either.
My number two was Suicide Squad, and Kevin made fun of me.
I put Suicide Squad on there.
Mine was number two, and you laughed me for having it so high.
What did I pick as number one? I probably picked Secret Life of Pets.
I think Secret Life of Pets was three for me. Wasn't Finding Dory number one for all of us?
It might have been, yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I'm Simon.
Intern.
Kevin.
And if they make it?
Simon forces us to watch it or build a house with it.